All right. Good morning, family. So glad you are here with us this morning, that you've joined us. If you are visiting with us this morning, we are so thankful that you are here. My name is Andy. I get to work with the youth ministry here. I'm the youth and family minister for the congregation here in Maryville. And we're so grateful that you are here with us as a visitor. I want to let you know that this is a family. We want to welcome you in to our family this morning. We hope you feel that. We hope you understand that when you leave today, that you'd want to be a part of this family as well. We have a couple of things just really quickly to talk about what's going on today, and then we'll jump into the lesson. If you did not know, we are having a lunch after this service, and we'd love to have you stay. We're going to give you some time at the end if you did not get a side or prepare a dessert to run over to Kroger real quick and buy something and come back and join us, because we'd love to have you do that. I don't know if the elders built this building here beside Kroger so these things could happen, or Kroger built themselves close to us for fellowship meal purposes, but it's there. We ask you to do that and come back and be with us this afternoon. Also, we have a meeting for our small group leaders this afternoon. There was an email sent out. If you need to know more information about that, please talk to one of the shepherds or Jonathan. Make sure you're there if you're a small group leader, so we can go over some very important things about next year's small group session and what we're doing this summer. Also, if you are a parent of a sixth grader, upcoming seventh grader, make sure you see me today before you leave. I'd love to meet with you about 5 o'clock tonight to talk about what the youth ministry is, what we do, what it looks like, what the summer is going to look like for your family and for your children. If you cannot make that meeting tonight, let me know and I will get you the information today, and we'll try to get together sometime in the next week, because it's very important for you to know what it is that your family is getting into for the next 6 years. So we want you to know what all that entails. We want to start with a prayer this morning as we jump into this lesson. We really want to be targeted congregationally, but really focused on our graduating seniors. Let's pray. Father, we're very thankful to be able to approach your throne and humbled, knowing that we are your children and you have done so much for us. And singing this morning about your grace and how it reaches us, we're reminded how much has been done on our behalf and how grateful we are to be able to be here and worship you and honor God who has loved us first. May we remember that as we go out and love others. Help us as we stand on the edge of new life and new things for so many of us. And we ask your blessings in that. In Christ's name, amen. It's a young father holding his child for the first time, the graduate receiving a cap and gown and thinking about what is about to happen in their life. It's the mother dropping off her preschool, kindergarten-age child for the first time and driving away with tears in her eyes. It's the same mother years later dropping off her child at college and driving away with tears in their eyes. It's the retiree picking up the box of memories that he takes home, never to return back to that workplace again. We all go through these life changes, these transitions, these moments where we stand at the crossroads. We come to these moments in life where everything seems new, and it's frankly pretty scary. Everything we have known is behind us, and everything in front of us is, well, new and uncertain, and we're unsure about what life is going to be like from here on out. This morning, I want us to find our place beside a river. We're going to join the Israelites in a conversation about what crossroads and transition look like, and that's why we're in Joshua 3. So go ahead and turn with me to Joshua 3, and let us find ourselves as a family beside the river with the Israelites as we think about what it's going to mean for us to enter the promised land that God has for us. So get there to Joshua 3 with me. Get your mind mentally prepared. Let's find ourselves beside the river. Let's get ourselves there with the Israelite people as we think about what's next for us, as we think about life transitions and crossroads. Joshua 3, starting in verse 1. Joshua took down the camp early in the morning, and he and all the Israelites marched out of the acacia grove and came to the Jordan, where they stayed overnight before crossing. At the end of 3 days, the officers went through the middle of the camp. They commanded the people, "As soon as you see the Lord your God's chest containing the covenant and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to march out from your places and follow it. But let there be some distance between you and it, about 3,000 feet. Don't come near it. You will know the way you should go, even though you've never traveled this way before. And Joshua said to the people, make yourselves holy. Tomorrow the Lord will do wonderful things among you. Then Joshua said to the priests, lift up the covenant chest, go along in front of the people. So they lifted up the Ark of the Covenant and went in front of the people. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to make you great in the opinion of all Israel. They will know that I will be with you in the same way that I was with Moses. You are to command the priests to carry the covenant chest. As soon as you come to the bank of the Jordan, stand still in the Jordan. Joshua said to the Israelites, come close and listen to the words of the Lord your God. Then Joshua said, this is how you will know that the living God is among you and will completely remove the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites before you. Look, the covenant chest of the ruler of the entire earth is going to cross in front of you in the Jordan. Now pick 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one per tribe. The soles of the priest's feet who are carrying the chest of the Lord, ruler of the whole earth, will come to rest in the water of the Jordan. At that moment, the water of the Jordan will be cut off. The water will flowing downstream will stand still in a heap. The people marched out from their tents to cross over the Jordan. The priests carrying the covenant chest were in front of the people. When the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant came to the Jordan, their feet touched the edge of the water. The Jordan had overflowed its banks completely, the way it does during the entire harvest season. But at that moment, the water of the Jordan coming downstream stood still. It rose up as a single heap very far off, just below Adam. So the priest carrying the Lord's covenant chest stood firmly on dry land in the middle of the Jordan. Meanwhile, all Israel crossed over on dry land until the entire nation finished crossing over the Jordan. It's time. The people have been waiting all these years, wandering in the desert, looking for this promise that God had given their forefathers so many years ago. The generation that left Egypt is gone, and now their children stand at the riverbank waiting to fulfill the promise that was offered to their parents and their parents and their parents and their parents. Everything their families had dreamed of was about to be fulfilled in their generation. They get to the river, and something is different. They've heard the story of the Red Sea. They know how Moses parted the waters. They know what God did before. And God said, this time, I need you to step in. He tells the priests to take the ark and go stand in the water. It's only after they step into the water that he parts the way and the people are able to walk on dry land. Here they are at a crossroads, a transition point. People who have lived to see God do amazing things but still grumble about their lot are about to step into the water and meet God and the promise that he gave their forefathers centuries ago. Similarly, we are at a crossroads. You may be a graduating senior, an empty nest family, a recent divorcee, a widow, a widower, a new parent. You may be retiring, you may be starting a new job, you may be moving into a new house, you may be starting a new adventure. Many of us are at a crossroads. Many of us are at a transition point. For a lot of us, we've been here for a long time. If you start thinking about standing at the river, you're like, I've been standing at the river half of my life. Uncertain of if I'm willing to step in, uncertain if I'm willing to follow and fulfill the promise that God has laid out for me. And this morning, we find ourselves at the same place we've been at for so many years, standing beside these Israelites at the river on the day of promise. Many of us are at a crossroads in life, and I want us to take a day to reflect on this, not only for our seniors, but as a congregation, to look at who we are and where we're going. Just like the Israelites, let us find ourselves thinking at the river about this one burning question: are you ready to step in? Are you ready for what God has promised? Are you actually ready for the blessings that he is going to provide you? Are you actually ready for what the promised land may be like? Because the thing is, we know the wilderness. We know what it looks like. We know how it feels. We know how it smells. We know how to live in the wilderness, but we don't yet know, for some of us, how to live in the promised land, and it really scares us. And that's why we've stood at the river for so long, because we know this. but we're so uncertain about what it's going to mean to cross over. Are we really ready to see what God has always had planned for us, to truly live in His plans? What are your fears? What holds you back? What keeps you at the river? What keeps you in the wilderness? Is it a fear of service for the church? What is it that holds you back? I believe that not only as a individual or as a senior or as a youth group member are a lot of us at a crossroads, but I feel like as a church, we're at a crossroads. We're at a pivotal point in this church's life and this church's history. If you look at who we are and who we're becoming, we just hired a new involvement and outreach minister. We've had elders and families that have stepped down and elders and families who have come on board to shepherd our flock. We've had new deacons added in the last 6 months. We are a church at a crossroads and in transition, and it's time for us to think about what it is that God has planned and where it is He's leading us and what it is He's doing here. And as we begin reflecting on all these things, you have to look in the mirror and ask yourself, what is it that we see that no one else sees? What is it that we see that keeps us from doing what it is that we were created to do? What is it that you see that are the blemishes, that are the sins, that are the problems, that are the frustrations, that holds you back from really being who it is that God created you to be in His kingdom, for His purpose, in His promise? What is it that you feel like disqualifies you from actually living in God's promise and so keeps you standing at the river's edge day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year? These things that you see in the mirror and you pick apart and you criticize yourself over and you feel like disqualify you, that's what holds you at the river. That's what keeps you from God's promise. I wonder what Moses saw as he looked into the burning bush. I wonder what Esther saw as she looked into the mirror before she went to the king. What did Elijah see in the mouth of the cave? What did Nehemiah see in the reflection of his cup? What did Peter see in the waves of the sea? What did John Mark see in the glare of the open road? So many people in the Bible had these moments where they saw something about themselves, and they either pushed through it and knew that God was going to take care of it, believed in the power of God, or they sunk or stopped or got depressed or got derailed. And we see it over and over in Scripture, the way that people function and the way people react to God and the way people treat His promise. Look at Luke 18, 18 through 23. This is one of the most heartbreaking stories in all of the Gospels. Luke 18, 18 through 23. Now a certain ruler asked Jesus, "Good teacher, what must I do to obtain eternal life?" And Jesus replied, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except the one God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother." Then the ruler said, "I've kept all these things since I was a boy." When Jesus heard this, he said, "There's one more thing. Sell everything you own and distribute the money to the poor. Then you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." When he heard these words, the man became sad because he was extremely rich. I am this man. Haven't you been this man at different parts in your life? Haven't you had all that you felt like you needed in the wilderness, not sure if you were able to cross over and give it up to see what the promised land had? I wonder what the rich young ruler saw. What do you think he thought about? Do you think he started making an inventory of all the things he had, of all the things he had accumulated, of all the friendships? Of maybe he started thinking about his family. Well, maybe I could give up these things, but I don't know if my family could give these things up. What if he started thinking about his legacy, about who it was to follow him, about the inheritance? I mean, I don't know what went through his head, but we know whatever went through his head kept him in the wilderness. He felt like he could not leave it behind. He had spent his whole life waiting for this moment, and then he turned away. He turned back. He got to the river and said, "I just can't do it." Let him come and stand with us for a moment. See him at the river with us, with the Israelites, thinking about what the promise has been offered to him is, thinking about what the promised land holds. He has wandered in the wilderness of wealth for so many years, and he gets to the river, he hears the promise, he receives his commission, only to turn back to the wilderness to wander in wealth again. Remember the rallying cry of Joshua to his people in 3 and verse 5. Consecrate yourselves, make yourselves holy, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing, wonderful things among you. It's time. We've waited at the river's edge so long, too long even. We need to follow the battle cry, the rallying cry, to consecrate ourselves, to make ourselves holy, to be ready for what it is God is doing, will do among us today, tomorrow, and forever. But are we ready? Are we ready to make ourselves holy? Are we ready to consecrate ourselves? We have lived in the wilderness content to wander and drug abuse and closet alcoholism and pornography and lust and gossip and self-loathing and greed and in pride. And we just wander in the wilderness and we feel like we've got it figured out because we're doing better than most of the world that is around us. And God says, I've promised so much more. Cross the river, come into the water. We must decide today to give up our demons and unlock the pain and live so that others may know the power of our Lord and Savior. God is asking you the same thing He asked those people so many years ago. Consecrate yourselves and watch me do amazing things among you. God asks you that this morning. All the weary that stand at the river, come. All the broken, all the scared, all the lonely, the sinful and the shamed, all the dreamers, cynics, all the skeptics, the mothers, the fathers, let us come as a family together and stand at this crossroads and consecrate ourselves to our God. Come and stand in the water and let God open up the path to your new life. If this is you, we ask you this morning to think about what it means for you to make yourself holy, to consecrate yourself, to be ready for the amazing things that God is going to do. If you have anything that you need to pray with your family about today, if you need to enter into the water and start that new life, we ask you today to come as we as a family stand and sing.